You've heard the headlines. Get some perspective now with Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
And here we go. A happy Tuesday to you. Let's jump right into the show. Is Arizona about to take some big cuts?
The lead.
All right, you remember this, don't you, Bruce? Martha McSally, she can't even get through the sentence. I can't even do it. This just happened. She voted to support Trump's emergency declaration. You remember that, right?
Yes.
And she did that despite she ignored the Constitution. She ignored the powers delegated to the Congress about allocating funding and things like that. And you remember when Martha McSally's justification for that vote promised us that it would not affect Arizona military bases, right? There would not affect, there would be no cuts to Arizona military bases because the president, the vice president, and the secretary of defense promised her it wouldn't happen. Well, guess what? KTAR is reporting that six Arizona military projects are potentially on the chopping block.
You can go to KTAR.com and see the document. It's actually a Pentagon document. If you enjoy reading spreadsheets, and by the way, who the heck are you people who enjoy reading spreadsheets? But I can look it. I can go down, see Arizona. You know, I could see Luke Air Force Base, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. You also have the facility out in Yuma, Camp Navajo, Fort Huachuca, where you see monies for projects.
Yeah, $60
million. Construction, things like this.
Right, real money.
Reallocated. Is that a nice way to put it?
That's a nice way to put it.
For the wall. This is that very same Senator McSally with our very own Mac and Gatos. Just a couple of weeks ago.
They've told us they are not going to be impacting projects that have to do with the lethality and the readiness of the force. We still have questions on what that means. And I do want to make sure that we fund our military, all of those projects for Arizona, and we secure our border. We shouldn't have to choose between the two.
Well, you're going to. And I hate to break it to you. The money was going to come from somewhere. And I think this is an example of, and this isn't Senator McSally or Senator Sinema's fault. From my perspective, Barry Marks in for Pamela Hughes today, you may have a different approach. But this is what happens when you have two freshman senators who have no political pull or very little political pull in a Senate with men and women who have been there 30-plus years, have been wheeling and dealing that whole time, have favors, have power, have committee chairmanships or whatever. And when you go to Mitch McConnell, the head of the Senate, but you go to him and say, hey, we're going to cut from some military bases in Kentucky. And Mitch McConnell goes, let me explain to you what's not going to happen.
Right, exactly.
Let's look around the room. Who doesn't? Arizona.
Right.
Let's go there. And that's exactly what happened. Martha McSally, on with Mac and Gatos a few weeks ago, continued.
I have fought for Luke Air Force Base. I know firsthand the national treasure that it is, and I am going to fight to make sure that the resources they need for those projects for the F-35 are funded.
Man, that's so bad. She's going to make sure they're funded, and now they're all on the chopping block.
Roughly $40 million in the F-35 project at Luke Air Force Base is, according to the Pentagon document we have in our hands, will be taken and put towards wall funding.
Yeah, and here's where this really bothers me, Bruce. You said it's not Sinema's fault, it's not McSally's fault.
Well, I mean, you understand what I mean by that.
From being a freshman senator, they don't have that power. If this was John McCain still
there's no way this would have happened if Senator McCain was alive.
Absolutely
There's
not.
Absolutely no way.
Just his experience and his relationships with the Pentagon, there's no way this happens.
And the fact that he
has
could call in
Senate.
Favors, if you will. Welcome to how the horse trading works.
Right. But what bothers me, and it bothered me about McSally's vote to begin with, is this is, I think, an unconstitutional national emergency. It's not an emergency.
Oh, I totally agree.
It may actually be constitutional only because the Supreme Court gives a lot of deference to the president. So when this goes up, the courts will see. But there's no question this is the executive branch stealing the funding duties of the Congress.
Congress is the power of the purse string.
And I was not impressed with McSally when her justification for this as well, it won't hurt Arizona. I mean, that's lovely, but if it's hurting the military in other states, it's hurting the military. It's hurting the defenses. But to see this just basically days later,
a week later
after the vote,
yeah,
and they're just not even just one project, six different projects.
All over the state.
Could be cut. It's absolutely ridiculous. It makes McSally look bad. I don't know if she was lying. I don't know if she was lied to. Maybe a little of both. I don't know. But it shows a complete lack of power. It shows that she's scared. She voted for this. Not because she's a conservative.
Not because she's a constitutionalist any way, shape, or form. A conservative in that sense.
Right. She's
afraid of Trump.
Yeah. She doesn't want to run in 2020 with the president. And be primaried or have the president saying bad things about her.
You broadly said those FY19 projects across all the country will not be impacted by this, just to be clear. Yeah. Correct, Mr. Secretary?
That is correct.
That is the Secretary of Defense assuring her in a hearing that none of these projects in Arizona would be affected. The Pentagon then releases a document where all of them are affected. So, again, maybe she was lied to. But you know why they could lie to her? What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, there's nothing she can do about it.
You are a freshman senator from Arizona. Are you going to do about it?
Not even elected. She's
appointed.
Appointed for a two-year term.
And they know you're running again in 2 years.
Yeah,
so guess what? What are you going to do about it?
She is literally the weakest senator in the Senate.
Well, part of it, just a function of her position.
Right. Her fault.
I would say, I'm not trying to belittle Senator McSally, but when you are an appointed senator on a two-year term that has to run for re-election in a state where you are and will be primaried on the right, what are your options?
Yeah, but who's going to primary?
If Trump drives you off the end of the cliff, you happily sit there and wave as you go over the side.
I would much rather see her take a stand and get to the general election. I don't know who's going to
primary. For the state of Arizona.
Right. I don't know who's going to primary her on the right anyway. Kelly Ward's running the party now. I don't know who else has any name recognition who could primary her on the right. But here's McSally's office. KTAR reached out to the senator's office, and a spokeswoman said, Fort Huachuca has a long overdue project from fiscal year 2018 that we are actively working to keep off any chopping block and will fight tooth and nail to backfill if needed. What about the other projects? What about?
You just conceded the F-35 project. The what is it?
40 million.
60 million. I apologize if I get my tens of millions off. As again, we're finding out now. I'm not trying to make fun of this.
Yeah.
Because I want to be very, very clear. I am perfectly okay with cutting tens of millions of dollars out of the military budget in the state of Arizona. I'm perfectly okay with it.
All right.
I'm also perfectly okay in cutting money out of every other government thing and not building a wall. I'm perfectly okay with spending less money.
Yes.
So I am not, I have no problem with the cutting of these construction projects at the military bases in Arizona. I just want us to cut everywhere else and not spend that. I don't want to just move it around like chess pieces.
Right.
You know, that doesn't solve our problem of $22 trillion deficit.
And backfill, by the way, means find someplace else to fund it later.
Right.
So it's going to get funded. It's not cutting any spending. It's just moving the deck chairs around and spending all the same money.
But Senator McSally specifically asked the questions of the Secretary of Defense, of Vice President Pence, and of Trump. She was given assurances that Arizona was not to be touched. And the minute the document came out, Arizona is trod upon.
Right. So I guess the question is,
that's what happens when you trust Trump, is what McSally should learn.
That's exactly
It's also
right.
why she lost her Senate election.
You talked about this yesterday. The president lies all the time. Whatever he needs to do to say or say to get what he wants. And apparently he did that with McSally. I wonder if she'll do that again. I wonder if she'll take it.
Yes.
You think she will?
I can help you with that already. Yes.
She absolutely will.
Yeah.
She can't go against him.
No, she doesn't have the backbone to go against him. Sorry. Right. If she was sitting right there, I go, Senator McSally, tell me a time when you've stood up against the president.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
Not going to happen.
I'll wait.
The funny thing
is,
when
something hurt the state of Arizona, like this is, if you believe in this, it's hurting the state of Arizona. It's possibly hurting military readiness, which was hers. So you going to stand up to the president?
Yeah.
You'll hear nothing but silence, blank stares, and... Well, I'm for, you know, all these other excuses.
Right.
The answer is no. I'm not going to stand up to her.
Well, we've reached out to her to see if she wants to come on the show today and answer those questions and maybe just hear that big vacant sound.
We've given her the opportunity to explain to us how, after assurances given to her under oath, by the way, as far as I can tell, in the Senate, the Pentagon has decided to use Arizona as one of the funding means and monies gone at six different projects at five different military facilities in the state of Arizona,
yeah,
where money would be taken from those bases and facilities and used towards, quote, wall.
I'm smiling because it really couldn't be any worse. It's the exact opposite.
It's exactly what I thought was going to happen, by the way.
Is that
as
right?
Feel free to go back to the podcast, people. Feel free. As predicted, the freshman senators from the state of Arizona will get run roughshod over,
yeah,
when it comes to stealing money from the state of Arizona. Absolutely.
It makes the president and the vice president look bad. It makes McSally look really, really bad. How can
weak.
We trust what she says?
Looks weak.
Yeah, she does look weak. And she's running for election in a year and a half.
Looks weak. Barry Markson in for Pamela Hughes today. Now, listen, I don't know if you separate your trash from your recycling, Barry. I've not been to your house, but I can tell you, I've got the two bins. I've got the green bin. Garbage goes in bags there. I got the blue bin. There goes your plastics, your cardboard, your aluminum cans or whatnot.
Right.
I separate my garbage. I try to do a good job
You're a good man.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just completely wasting my time and potentially wasting the city of Phoenix's money. Is recycling even worth it anymore?
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Are you a good and responsible citizen? Do you separate your garbage and your recyclables? Maybe that is a definition of good citizen. Well, I think we were told, and it took a little while, that we got to the point where we kind of learned, and I think most people I know have like the recycling bin and have the garbage bin. Barry Markson in for Pamela Hughes today. We are learning, though, that recycling in America is fundamentally changing to the point that I could make an argument we are all wasting our time.
It appears that's the case.
And it just doesn't matter.
What we're seeing now is a lot of companies, aluminum companies, are saying they don't want the recycled aluminum cans.
Don't give us cans.
Because we can get it cheaper from other sources. We're seeing the plastic bottles aren't being recycled. It's just being stacked up. So we're doing all the work, and nobody's doing anything. It's just being thrown in the landfills.
There are the New York Times actually ran a big story about this, which basically made the argument. And, you know, stop me if you've heard this one before. Let me use the city of Philadelphia, for example.
Yeah.
They burn about half of the recycling material that they take in. They burn it in a huge incinerator because that's hashtag good for the environment, right? In Memphis, at the airport, they've got the recycling. You've been to like public places and like the garbage can. We have them in Sky Harbor. Garbage, recyclable, it has a little different shape on top, and I'm always trying to it's like that test or whatever. I'm always trying to put the triangle into the circle. I'm get a bigger hammer out of that, right?
The plate won't fit in that hole.
Well, in Memphis, they just collect all those and throw them in the same garbage thing. I don't care which one you put it in.
Is that right?
You can separate your recyclables all you want, but they have nowhere else to recycle anymore. And that this whole idea that recycling is good for the environment, well, it's turned out maybe that the economy of it, the numbers behind it, it's not good for them, and so people aren't doing it.
There's just less buyers for the recycled material, and now all these recycling companies and trash companies, they have nowhere to get rid of this stuff. It's cheap. The aluminum companies don't want it. The companies that use recycled materials to do paper and other products, they don't want it because they can get the raw materials cheaper than the recycled materials.
Can we know who's to blame, though?
Government.
There's always a villain. You ready?
Yeah.
China. Because it turns out that about a year ago, China, count me as one who maybe didn't know this, China bought a lot of our recyclables.
Right.
So imagine you're throwing your aluminum and your cardboard into the little blue bin here in Phoenix. It goes to some magical place where they separate all that. Then it goes into some, I'm guessing, like a shipping container, gets on a boat, goes to China, and China uses it. China said, we're no longer buying recyclable materials from the United States because it's got a lot of garbage mixed in with it and it's too much of a hassle. We can just get it somewhere else.
That's exactly right.
And so the stuff just piling up.
And you know what's happening now is the recycling companies are starting to charge more to recycle because they can't get rid of the stuff like they used to. So Waste Management, which is the biggest company, and Republic Services, they're charging more. They're doing more fees. And a lot of municipalities, and I'm seeing this up north, are getting concerned because these large companies are kind of getting a monopoly on it. So now they control the pickup, the recycling, the trash, everything, and they can charge what they want. Because we have no other choices.
Well, if you think about it, that at least the way it was, I understood it originally, was recycling could at least be like a net zero. Like, of course, it costs money on some level to run a recycling facility. And if you, the citizen, was doing a good job of recycling and this and the other. But when they sold the material, at least it worked out to like a net zero. But the positive being, hey, you're better for the environment, right?
Right.
You're better for natural resources. Okay. But now the numbers have gotten completely out of whack to where cities are losing money recycling.
Yeah.
And as green as they may want to be, they're saying, we just can't lose money on this deal.
Yeah, it's not working for them anymore. We've got to come up with, I guess they call it compostable stuff. We need single-use stuff that we use, and then it goes away. Kind of Mission Impossible style.
Okay.
Right? In 5 seconds, this bottle will deconstruct.
Oh, my God. Why do I think it's going to deconstruct in the middle of me drinking?
We got to figure out a way to make that happen. They're scientists smarter than us. They should be able to figure that out.
Technology will get us out of our recycling issue.
That's I'm hoping.
You say so. Because
otherwise, you better make some room in your house for garbage.
All right. Well, Barry Markson says, so then it will be true. It has been deemed.
If only that were true.
Student loan debt. I mean, there's a hot button issue, right?
Yeah.
You have a lot of people, especially in politics, claiming they have solutions to it. But is the fundamental issue with student loan debt the ease and the available money out there, specifically government money? We'll talk about one possible program, a plan that might lower the cost of education. We'll tell you how that can happen. It's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Barry Markson in for Pamela Hughes today. I don't know who approved this, by the way. We're going to go up the chain on this one.
It has to be approved. It ain't going to happen. We know that.
There is that, yes. But Barry, you and I both saw that, and I think we both can agree, that student loan debt, the cost of college, there is something out of whack, might be the nicest way to put it.
Yeah.
And I come down on the side that one of the biggest things out of whack, and the reason that the cost of college keeps going up, and I don't know if you've ever seen any of these graphs, the cost of college has gone up quicker and by a bigger percentage than any other commodity, any other service on the planet.
Yeah, I say this all the time. The two things that go up fastest are college education and healthcare.
Yeah.
What do they have in common?
They both have in common an almost unlimited supply of government money.
Yeah.
And every time government allocates more money for student loans, guaranteed loans, help getting loans, et cetera, Pell Grants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, amazingly, the cost of college goes up the exact same amount.
It's shocking how that happens.
They're not going to leave money on the table, and it's this vicious cycle. Well, yeah. Trump actually has a plan that I want to say I can get on board with.
Yeah.
To help curb this.
Yeah, and what he's saying is, what the administration is saying is, let's put a cap on the amount of money graduate students can borrow and parents can borrow on behalf of their kids.
The plan sent to Congress calls for a number of changes, including caps on federal student loans for graduate students and parents of dependent undergrads, something the administration says will help lower tuition. The Trump administration did not include numbers detailing at what point it thinks federal loans should be capped.
Yeah, okay, but can we agree? And I mean, I guess we have to come to some sort of agreement, and everybody except for colleges and universities that make money off of this ought to be able to agree that if there's unlimited money, and I mean that, you know, it's as unlimited as you and I can count to.
Right.
Unlimited money for students to go to college, amazingly, the price becomes almost unlimited.
Yeah. I mean,
two are related.
There's no business or service out there. It's fantastic. Imagine having a business where you make widgets.
Okay.
And the government and everybody tells you have to own this widget.
I have to have a widget or my life is ruined.
Right. You're not going to have a good life. Your kids aren't going to have a good life.
Okay. Then I want one of your widgets.
You're going to make less money your entire life. Yeah. And then the government says, and everybody's like, I have to have the widget. So the government says, we will lend you as much money as you need to buy the widget.
An unlimited amount of money.
So the company that makes the widgets is just going to raise prices every year.
Why not?
Why wouldn't they?
And then the government goes back and says, well, some people can't afford widgets.
Right. Got to give them more money.
We'll have to put more money in it for widgets. And guess what happens to the price of widgets?
And that's what happens.
It goes back up.
The cost of college education goes up so much more than anything else.
This has been my argument.
Yeah.
In the end, I get into that true libertarian argument. The government of the United States of America should provide exactly $0 for college or continuing or secondary education. Zero.
Yep.
Not a nickel. Now, you're going to say, well, then I couldn't afford to go to college. Au contraire, since I believe in the free market, I believe that institutions from ASU to GCU to University of Phoenix would then have to adjust their tuition to what you could actually afford,
right.
Not this fantasy number where you don't have the money.
Right.
Because I just cannot imagine that if you took all the government dollars out of subsidizing education, that ASU would have classrooms with no students in them. And we go, well, we're not dropping our price. We're just going to have a hire a professor to talk to a bunch of chairs.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely ridiculous. And in-state, the cost has gone up for even in-state. And that's at a discount to $10,000, whatever it is. But they say at ASU, for example, the cost of one student going to school is around $30,000. That's the cost of one year at school. How can that possibly be? Especially in classes where there's 200, 400, 500 kids per class.
It sounds out of whack.
It really does. So there's obviously a lot more going on there. And let me ask you, so in your libertarian free market,
yes,
way, where it's only, do you allow for loans from private banks?
Sure.
Okay. And then, because then the bank should be looking at it and saying, what's your degree going to be in? What are your grades? What's
you
the
may
likelihood?
Not get a loan if, right, you want. If your exactly dream is to get an art history degree.
Right.
From Harvard.
Yeah.
And you think it's worth $120,000.
Yeah.
Me as a taxpayer should not have to subsidize this folly.
Right.
With government loans.
Right.
If you can find a sucker bank that will lend you $120,000 for your art history degree, well, then that is a private interaction, and I wish you best luck. I don't think the bank would ever loan you the money.
No. And the only reason they did in the past, now it's all government-owned, but when it was done in the past, the government guaranteed it.
But if the free market actually worked when it came to education,
yeah,
that art history degree would be worth, instead of $120,000, which it may cost you at Harvard, the $120 that it's actually worth, and you could pay for it with a weekend driving an Uber.
And here's the deal. Art history is a funny thing, and I'm not an art guy at all, and I agree with you. There's not a ton of value to that, but I'm glad some people have an art history
good
degree.
Good for you.
I'm glad there's art museums.
Absolutely.
I'm glad somebody knows these things.
I can acknowledge that.
I don't want to do it,
no,
and I want to make money. So I'm going to get a college degree that helps me get to that point. But that's the point. Here you have the government saying, get a degree in anything you want. Get a degree.
Doesn't
in the
matter.
Get a degree in the most ridiculous
thing.
How
much money
thing
do you need?
Exactly. And here's the cash, and if you can't pay it back, don't worry about it.
It is a screwed up system, and the White House is looking to, I would call it, cap it on some level, and that would be the first step in the right direction, where,
yeah,
you start eliminating the volume of dollars headed towards education. Barry Markson in for Pamela Hughes as we discuss this, because it's something, who is opposed to this? Now, here's the thing. I can understand in the short term.
Right.
In the short term, there might people be saying, well, I'm going to get screwed because I can't get the unlimited amount of money I want for my art history degree. And the U of A hasn't lowered the price of an art history degree, so I'm stuck in the middle.
Right. Now I'm screwed.
But at some point, it has to get right-sized,
yeah,
for lack of better terms. At some point, water needs to find its own level.
You're exactly right. So in the near term, individuals may be harmed, so to speak, by this. And keep in mind, it's not undergraduate students, but it's grad students and parents. And right now, grad students and parents can borrow as much as schools charge for tuition.
Think about that.
It's insane.
Let me put it this way. You said widgets.
Yeah.
I can make it even more simpler than that. If, play along with me, the government offered to give you a loan of indeterminate amount, as much as you need to purchase a car, what would everybody be driving right now? Do you think there'd be a lot of people on bicycles, or do you think that there'd be a row of Rolls Royces outside?
That's right. There'd be a lot of Ferraris out there.
There'd
in the
be a hell of a lot
right
of Ferraris. I'd have two of them.
Right. There has to be a time when we put a cap on this, and that's the only thing that's going to drive down prices. The schools will find a way to make their model work.
Oh, yeah.
Within the amount of money in the marketplace.
They will shrink whatever their thing is to the available amount of money in the
Absolutely.
Marketplace. And if the government keeps pouring more money in the marketplace, expect the price of college to keep going up and up and up and up.
Couldn't agree more.
It would never go down.
Couldn't
what would
agree more.
What would be the reason it would go
right.
down?
And it hasn't yet.
Altruism? Hold your breath. Hold your breath. Barry Markson in for Pamela Hughes today. And up next, we're going to have a conversation. Barry, do you drink diet soda or soda pop?
Not very often. Every
good for
once
you.
In a
You're
while.
Going to live forever. And if you do drink diet yep. soda or even regular soda, bad news. Coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Do you think we're getting to the point that the message is out? Let me use some examples. Is there anybody out there right now that is unclear or unsure that cigarettes are bad for your health? Does anybody think cigarettes are a health item?
I can't imagine anybody doesn't know.
Even those that smoke, no, I know it's bad for me.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody.
It takes years off your life, yeah, but it takes the final years, okay? Yeah. It's not like I missed my 20s,
right?
All right?
Yeah. It's not like it was decades ago where people thought smoking was cool and it wouldn't hurt you and all that.
Lose weight.
Everybody knows that.
So we know, example, smoking equals bad, even if you choose to do it, but at least you understand. You're aware of it. How many people are similarly educated and aware that soda, sugary drinks, are bad for your health? Full stop, period.
Yeah.
And how about this? Diet sodas, non-sugary drinks, are almost equally as bad for your health.
Right. And it's not the diet stuff, I think, is what surprises people, because the studies started coming out that they don't actually help with your diet. They encourage you to eat more food.
Something called empty calories, I've heard it described.
Yeah.
That diet sodas make you hungry for bad food, for
right.
lack of better term.
Like, the only time I like Diet Coke, and I don't drink it very often, is if I'm eating Mexican food. If I'm having something spicy.
That's your Mexican food, Diet Coke go
right.
together.
It's like somebody who thinks they have to have a cigarette with their coffee. That's me. If I'm
okay.
having, and even then, I'm trying to get away from it. I just drink
Fair
ice.
Enough.
I drink ice
so
tea.
So Taco now. Tuesdays at the Barry Markson household are accompanied by a 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke.
But there are a lot. My wife loves Diet Coke, and she'll stop for a while and get off it. And I'm like, what do you do? And you know this is bad for you now. And she goes back to it. She likes getting the Diet Coke. A little bit of caffeine. I don't know what it is. There's an addiction level to it, too, I think.
We have multiple studies, including the newest study that has been published, that if you drink sugary soda pop or these sports drinks, your risk of dying young from heart disease and cancer go up pretty significantly. Now, they're saying if you have a can of Coke or Diet Coke once a week,
with Mexican food?
For example, with Mexican food.
Then you're okay.
You're going to be fine. But if you drink them every day, if you're one of those, I always get a big gulp to start the day. I always have soda with lunch or dinner, or I always have one on my desk. Those people that wear white lab coats and go around telling you how to live your life, are telling you these things are uniquely bad for
you. Yeah, it's not just the sugar. It's just bad. There are studies that say for Diet Coke that it increases your risk of dying young from heart disease and cancer just because you drink Diet Coke.
Well, check this out. Those that had more than 2 servings a day, and I want to say they listed that at 12 ounces, okay? So 2 cans of soda. 63% increased risk of premature death. 63%?
Yeah.
Listen, I don't have the correlating number. It might be as bad as smoking, for God's sake.
It's really bad.
Are we going to get a warning label on soda pop?
With these stats, it's incredible. 2 cans of regular Diet Coke, which is just 24 ounces, which basically is just getting a drink at a restaurant or a Circle K
or get a refill at the restaurant.
It increases your risk of early death from heart disease by a third.
Yeah.
Just from having 2 cans.
I just don't think that message is getting out. And I do think one of the tough things for people, and count me, hey, one of those people, that when you're thinking about losing weight or you're concerned about your health like that, you're like, well, I'm going to give up the regular Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
I'm going to give up the root beer. I'm going to give up the Red Bull. I'm going to go to the diet version. And everything will be better. Weight will fall off of me. I'll instantly get healthier. And there is absolutely no research to back that up whatsoever.
No, and it's the opposite. I used to wonder if heavier people were drinking Diet Coke and that's why they have more health issues. In other words, is it the Diet Coke or is it that they're not in shape anyway?
You do see that a lot.
But there's thin people who drink Diet Coke too. So
without a doubt.
I'd like to see that broken out though, but it's not good for you. Drink some water. Get a little tea. Have a little iced tea or something.
And by the way, this isn't one of these studies that like they asked 8 people.
No.
They used data from 37,000 American men just to come up with the sugary drink argument that they're making, that the fact that cardiovascular disease and cancer goes up if at the rate of if you have two sodas or more a day, and I know plenty of people, 24 ounces, if you drink more than 24 ounces of a carbonated or sugary drink a day, your risk of these diseases and dying young goes up exponentially.
There's almost no one, if you drink Diet Coke or a regular soda, that just drinks a 12-ounce can. It's almost always a larger serving now.
Can I give you a secret?
Yeah.
If you look at the ingredients, you know one of the big ingredients is in soda pop?
What's that?
Sodium.
Really?
What does sodium do?
It swells you up.
Makes you thirsty.
Dehydrates
you, makes you thirsty.
Man, they're smart.
The more you drink, the thirstier you get.
They're smart over there. They've done everything except get the government to loan us money to buy more of it.
Tell me the difference between a 24-ounce, a 2-liter bottle of soda and a pack of cigarettes right now. Because right now I'm having trouble telling the two apart.
Yeah, it doesn't look good, that's for sure. And what makes it worse is you don't think of it as being bad for you.
Not at all.
So you just keep having more and more.
Barry marks it in for Pamela Hughes today, and we are right back. You know what's coming? An unvaccinated kid banned from school due to a measles outbreak, demanding that he be allowed back into school. We'll tell you about that story next.